Welcome to Red River Valley Today, a public service of East Texas Broadcasting, where we talk to people who make this a great place to live. Brought to you by Century 21 Harvey Properties. Here's your host, Eric Kaufman.
Our guest this morning, Will Walker, who is a drama instructor at Paris Junior College, but also a director, Paris Community Theater. Mm-hmm. And I imagine you have been in quite a few performances.
Yes.
Yeah.
Too many to count.
I miss it. I miss it a lot because it's just a one-of-a-kind experience, and that's the beauty of community theater.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Once it's in your blood also, it's in there. It never goes away.
Right. Well, that's true. Yeah. And it's like a couple of times I've almost gone for an audition, but, you know, now four kids, and it's just like I'm trying. Yeah. But let's talk about this because actually most recently – there's always been kind of a symbiotic relationship between PJC drama and PCT because some of the kids that go to school there also audition for the PCT performances. Mm-hmm. But never did we see it come together like Clue.
Well, yeah. Yeah, since I've been here, I think 15 years now. And having the community involved with us has always been my thing. We need to get the community in here. We're a community college. I know it says Paris Junior College, but we are a community college.
Right.
And the community is a huge part of who we are. So I was like, we should open these auditions up to the community. They should come and, in essence, come play with us. And it's been wonderful. And then, of course, vice versa. My students, they go and they'll work backstage of a show at PCT. They may be in a show at PCT. So we do have that sort of bond. And I think recently we've been strengthening that bond between us because while the community theater's building is being electrically renovated right now,
right?
I've been helping them move the rest of their season to PJC. So, like, their children's show.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, their children's show will be at PJC. They will actually come into the theater the week after we close Princess Camp. And then they will be in there, I think, till the second. I think they perform the second week of May.
Yeah.
And then right after that, the Marvelous Wonderettes move in. So,
what a great show.
Oh, yeah. And this is one of the, because I think there's four of them total, and I think this is the second one that they're doing. It was never a question when they were like, oh, we need a new space because of the theater's under renovation. It was always like, come use us. We don't use our theater during the summer.
Is it just me or, I mean, I know over the years since I've gotten out of high school, which was way too long ago, that like these one act plays and the actual active student bodies of the high schools here also like to do this, and they get their feet wet with PCT and PJC. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How much of an asset is that for you to have these the theater teachers that we have in the local schools?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, without them, I mean, you know, they really want us to kind of like go out and like really recruit and this, but I have, since I've been here 15 years, I have been trying to establish bridges to the high schools, because I've got several of my students currently that are from Paris High School. We've had folks from North Lamar. The one school that I've always had the most problem getting into is Chisholm, and they have such talent over
there.
Yes, they do. And I really, really, really want to get into that program because I think PJC drama could offer those kids, one, we can offer them scholarships.
Right.
Which is a huge thing because students.
College just keeps getting more and more expensive.
Yeah, it does.
That's the beautiful thing about PJC right here in our backyard.
Mm-hmm. And I know it's difficult for, you know, because I grew up in a small town. I think my hometown was like 3,400 people. And
What town?
Hempstead, Texas.
Oh, okay.
And the closest 2-year college to us was in Brenham, which is Blinn College, which is where I went. And I understand that people don't want to stay in their backyard. I get that. Kids today, they're just like, I want to go and I want to get out of here and all that. And I think they don't realize what an asset they have in our program, because of the size of our program, it allows our students to be in every show. And they also get to build and learn lights and sound. And they, in today's world, you really have to be more than just an actor.
Right.
Or just a technician. You really need to kind of have something else under your belt, which is what the philosophy that I base our program on, is you're not going to come in here and just act on stage. You're going to come in here and you're going to build a costume. You're going to build a set piece. Or you're going to like pull props. Or you're going to learn sound. You're going to learn lights. So when they do go out, if they decide to go to a four-year, that's great and further their education. But if they just decide, you know what, I think I want to jump into the business right now, which is totally cool.
Right.
And that way they go out and they go to a theater, and if the theater is like, oh, you're an actor. Well, is there anything else that you do? And then they go, well, yes, I can build sets and I can run light boards and I can do this. And they're like, then we'll hire you.
Right.
Because you have to be, it's no longer like it used to be, where actors, that's all you have to be, get out, get famous. You have to have some other thing to bring to the table now. And that's
well, and especially if you enjoy the whole experience.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and this is the wonderful thing about, if you're hearing this and you've always wanted to dabble in it, or you did it in high school and now enough years have gone by, you want to do it, but you're not sure. The beautiful thing about my experience with PCT was that it was the workday Saturdays showing up mm-hmm. to work on the set. Yep. It was striking the set the night of the last show,
yeah,
which was crazy to me that we just struck the whole thing, you know, and it really gives you a real full experience and the bonding, and then the bonding that you get mm-hmm. with everybody. It's just amazing.
Yeah. You know, one of the funny things about theater is that theater is so, like, temporary. And most people don't realize that. Yeah. You know, it's when you're working on a show and you've been in this show, you've been working on it for like 6 months or 6 weeks rather, sorry. And you've sort of bonded with your castmates and, you know, you're really having a good time. And then the final day happens, the final curtain closes, and then you have to tear it all down. It's an extremely emotional moment.
It is the, you know, all the congratulations. Mm-hmm. And we had, like with Plaza Suite, we had a great run. Mm-hmm. And we all lift each other up, and it was just a great. And then, yeah, it was that moment when we put the last piece into the old brown, mm-hmm. into the back there, and it was like, oh, yeah,
that's
well,
it.
You know, and the beautiful thing about, though, where we live is you do run into those people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And you've got that. But the thing is that it can become very addictive in a good way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, when we did Clue, when PCT did Clue, and that was an experience, because when the building, the electrical work of the building went down on us, we had to move the whole show
still
to PJC.
Amazes me.
And it was a huge move. I mean, we literally built that set twice.
Yeah. And that wasn't a simplistic set.
No, it was not. It had a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
And but we did it, and the whole cast and crew came together and moved it over, and I think we got it all set up in like a day. We could put it back in place in a whole day. We did some adjustments because the PJC stage is shallower than the PCT stage, but we're wider.
Right.
And took a little bit of finagling, but we got it in there. And, I mean, I thought the show was pretty successful. I mean, everything I've heard about it, people loved it. And it's fun. It was a fun show. It was exhausting.
I think that PCT, the Plaza Theater, would be great with that space in the alley to have a room like what PJC has.
Yeah.
Because that's just right there. And you can build stuff there and then, yep. you know, assemble it on the stage.
Yeah.
But again, it's just great. And now hearing that PCT is going to be moving, and I hope they get all the electrical squared away at the Plaza, because
yeah, they are there. We've hired. I'm on the board of PCT as well, and we've hired an electrician and his company to come in, and they are completely retrofitting the building. So, and we're looking. We're out of the building for a little while. You know, we don't know the true extent of how long we're going to be out of the building.
Well, and listen, you know. I mean, full disclosure here, what has happened over the years, and there's been different forms of management for PCT over the years. Yeah. And when you get into show mode, you just want things to work.
Yeah.
And so if something didn't work, they just put a Band-Aid on it and did something kind of new to make it basically just not catch fire.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
and so you got years of that to
absolutely
undo.
Oh, yeah, you've got extension cords running places to bring power. And you know, and they came through and were inspecting the folks who are doing the electrical work and everything. And not just them, but some others did too. But they found the old silk cording wires still being used, like still in function.
That's like 20s and 30s
stuff. It was crazy. So that's all going to go away. They're replacing all the wire. They're going to strip out all the wiring, and they're going to lay brand new wires, new boxes, new everything. So we're going to be in a good place for next year when we bring our next season in.
In the world of streaming, and of course, you know, the movies are kind of taking a hit. I saw a great conversation online about, I guess Jerry Seinfeld the other day had some appearance, and he talked about movies being dead, even though he just directed a new movie. And he was kind of right, but then somebody came right back and said, well, what about Barbenheimer that weekend?
Yeah.
Record numbers. Yeah. So really, who's it on?
Yeah.
So while we all do this and have all these new forms of entertainment, I don't know. I've not ever been able to find all the right words to get people to reconnect with live theater.
Right.
Because it is just a different experience, and it gives you a different feeling walking away from it than going to a movie or binging a show.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because in my theater appreciation class, they have to go and watch a live performance and critique it, or not critique it, but review it. And it's so funny when I go, okay, you're going to have to go see a live show. The very first reaction is like, and I was like, don't knock it till you try it.
Right.
And then 9 times out of 10, they'll go see the show or a show. It doesn't have to be our show at PJC. It could be the community theater, or it could go to Commerce, or, you know, whatever. And they'll come back and they will be like, I had the best time. You know, like, I've never been to a play before. I went to this one and I want to go to another one. And I was like, you know, and it is one of those things that a movie is so disconnected from us.
Right.
But when you go to the theater, you are connecting on an empathic level with this story that is unfolding in front of you. You laugh, you cry, you know, these things. You know, in the current show we're doing in Princess Camp, there's a beautiful moment at the end between the king and Mary. And it brings tears to my eyes.
It can happen.
I mean,
absolutely.
And I'm one of those empathic folks. I'm a very sensitive guy.
At the courthouse.
Oh,
Inherit the Wind.
That's what it is.
And because it was in a courtroom, it was a different theater experience than anything I had experienced. Mm-hmm. And everything felt even more, even though, I mean, there were some challenges with sound and lights and everything, because the courtroom's not set up for that. It was astounding.
Oh, yeah.
The feeling that it gave you. And that's one of my favorite all-time movies.
Oh, yeah.
And I had never seen it in play form before, even though I know that's where it started.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there's so many good movies that people don't realize started on the stage.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's so funny when people talk about actors who started out on stage, but now they're in movies. And I'll use is Ian McKellen, or Sir Ian McKellen, rather. You know, most of my students just know him as, like, Gandalf.
Right.
And it's like, and it hurts my brain and my soul because I'm like, oh, gosh.
He
is a stage actor. I mean, all of these, you know, these, like, Ian McKellen, Helen Mirren, Judy
Patrick
Dench.
Patrick Stewart.
They all started out at the RSC, the Royal Shakespeare Company. And they've always been. And Patrick Stewart's the great. He's so great when he talks about his theater experience. It's so wonderful. But he's like, when they approached me to do Jean-Luc Picard in Star Trek, he was like, I'm a stage actor. Yeah, exactly. What do you want me for? You know, that sort of thing. And I just think that's, you know, I think, and this is probably going to be a very unpopular opinion, but I think a lot of the quote-unquote movie stars, and I'm using that very loosely, would be a whole lot better if they had stage training.
And you know, that you see a lot of them, every once in a while I read up that somebody is currently on Broadway and having a great run. And like, most recently, the one that caught my attention was Joss Hartnett.
Yep.
Who I felt was pretty one-dimensional as a screen actor. Mm-hmm. And he was doing, I don't remember which play it was, but it was a classic play.
What was that? I remember that, but I don't remember the play.
But evidently, he got nominated for a Tony and everything. He really, which is funny because in the movie Hollywood Homicide, he plays an aspiring, he's awful.
Oh, yeah.
But like, he, so, and it's, for those that don't know, it's hard to play awful on purpose.
Yeah, it really is. It's also like playing drunk on stage.
Yes. Yes. But you know, the feeling, the connection feeling I was talking about was so that I, that had reignited in me from being in the play. But then I saw, through all the COVID stuff and everything, I saw Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
On TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, it moved me. It was just so amazing. But I had a really strong desire to experience that in person. I really wanted that connect, and I have not been able to catch up.
Well, you really need to.
Yeah, I know. I really want to. I was on that, that special waiting list, you know, and I never got hit up with that. That was the first run, which I expected, but now it's been back two or three times.
Yeah, it comes back every couple of years.
And, you know, and when we were working on the set, Sarah put on, maybe it was XM, the app. It was the all the show tunes and stuff like that. And it was just amazing, all the people singing and everything. Because when you get into it, it's just amazing.
It is. It really is. You know, and it's, you know, we were talking about the symbiotic relationship, is that there is a beautiful connection between an actor and an audience that, you know, and we talk about it all the time to my, I talk about it all the time to my actors. It's like, you know, your audiences will set the tone of the show. If you go out there and your audiences are like active, then the energy is going to be so high as an actor just feeds off of it.
Right.
And that really pushes an actor to do their best. And it's the same way with like a quiet audience. If you have a very, very quiet audience, they're not, not that they're not enjoying it, but they're just wanting to listen. It is so hard as an actor to perform for a quiet audience because that we literally feed off of each other. It's like, you know, I come out full blast and the audience is just consuming that. And well, then and hopefully see, returning it.
That varies night to night.
Yeah, it does.
Because, and then you'll say, okay, well, now I've really got this. I just had a great night. Tomorrow night, there's a couple of things I can do better or different. And you go out and you got nothing back. And you question everything.
Yeah,
and then you start questioning everything.
Yep. You're like, oh, wow, I was bad tonight. And it's like, no, you weren't bad at all. The audience was just quiet. Audience. You know, you're going to have it. And it used to be matinees were like that. You know, back when I was an undergrad, we would, you know, it was always, you'd go out on a matinee and it's like a sea of blue. Because all the blue-haired old ladies came and saw the matinee, and they were super quiet.
Right,
and it, you know, and after the show, they were like, "Oh, we loved it so much! Oh my gosh!" And we were just like, "You're the hardest audience.
You got to give us something.
You got it something. I don't care. It's just it's rough. It can be rough. And yeah, I always tell my actors, it's like, you had a good night. Don't rest on your laurels. Because tomorrow is going to be a whole different thing. There's no, you know, you cannot, you'll never see the same performance twice.
Do you get students at PJC that have never done this before?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's one of the beautiful things about our program is that it is open to all experience levels. That, I mean, we have one of my current scholarship students, her name is Brenna Mills. She was with us, she's been with us since I think she was in sixth grade. She's been doing shows with us since she's in sixth grade. And we told her when she was really, really like young, we're like, you have a scholarship with us. When you graduate high school, you're with us. And she literally did just about every show possible with us. And she was at Paris High School. She even like, she even forego one act play to come and do stuff with us. And so finally she graduated and now she's with us now. And she's in the show that's opening tomorrow. She plays Sleeping Beauty, but that's the beauty of it. You know, we that's why I think community is so important, is that we reach out to these young kids and they love what they do, and hopefully that nurtures. You know, because sometimes, and I know how it is, not just here in Texas, but the arts are tend to be at the bottom of everyone's care list.
Right.
And it's sad because, you know, not to go into a spiel, but when you have a theater degree is more than just a theater degree. It is technically a communications degree. Not technically, it is a communications degree. And a lot of times it's better than having a business degree because you're so diverse.
Right.
You know, because you can go into like HR, public relations of any kind, marketing. I mean, I have friends who have masters in theater and they work in insurance and they love it.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's, you know, these theater is one of those things that, you know,
I have not really thought of that before, yeah. But that is absolutely true. Yeah. And you have to learn every facet yep. of the business. So that gives you a lot of business knowledge.
Yep.
Because you got the expense of the play, and yeah. trust me, there are a lot of different levels yeah. of expenses mm-hmm. for doing any kind of a show.
Yeah, it's more than, you know. The sad thing about it is most people lump us in like all we'll be able to do is teach high school theater, and I mean, no, there's more to it than that. I mean, you don't even in theater you don't necessarily have to have a degree to get into it. Do they like you to have a degree? Yes, because they see that you've had some training. But like my students could leave PJC and go work professionally, like right out of graduation, you know. And so understand out there, everybody, if you have kids that are interested in theater, let them do it.
Absolutely.
Let them do it. You will see a complete change in who they are in a positive way. Because we have another student of mine, her name is Emma, and she's brilliant, a brilliant actress. But when she first came in, she was super shy, very quiet. And now she's like out and about and great. I mean, she's huge, huge personality. And that's, you know, and I'm not saying that has anything to do with me, but it has to do with the fact that she's found a place where her voice can be heard.
Right.
And that's what theater is. Theater is a haven, you might say. If you want to be who you are, come to the theater department.
It's a different set of friendships you mm-hmm. make, too, and they're lifelong. I was I got into the performing arts school at Skyline before mm-hmm. they moved downtown mm-hmm. to Booker T. Washington. And I still have just really, really good friends from my time there, and that was way too long ago. And because you just form, it's a yeah. different, it's just a different, type of friendship. You go through some things.
Oh yeah.
When any show that you get into, mm-hmm. you go through some things, there's ups and downs. You suck right now.
Yep.
I mean, and what's that like, by the way, dealing as a director uh-huh. with the emotions, knowing how, I mean, do you try to figure out in a hurry how each person is going to respond to any kind of input?
Well, I always tell them, I always have a story that I tell them. And when I was an undergrad, I was in a production of Julius Caesar, and I played Brutus. And a very good friend of mine, he was playing Cassius. And in a rehearsal one night, we were supposed to be off book. So we came out there and we were just struggling so bad. Because if you're not familiar with Julius Caesar, it's an extremely difficult play to memorize because it's so redundant.
Right.
And so this, and I tell this story to all my students, right there, the director stopped the show, looked at me and the guy playing Cassius who was standing next to me. He looked right at us and he said, "You two are incompetent actors. Leave the stage. Go home." And I got so blindsided by that. I went home and I was like, what have I done? What have I done? What have I done? Why, what can I? Oh, God. Oh, God.
Right.
And then the next day I came into rehearsals and I knew my stuff. And I was like, you know what? And I told my students, it's like, that was a really hard thing to hear as an actor, to be called an incompetent actor. And I was like, but you know what? I didn't go home and cry about it. I literally was like, okay, well, how can I fix this? And I was like, think of it like that. Think of it, this is a problem. You have a glitch in something. How do you fix it? And they, for the most part, they have kind of gone with that. There are some times where emotions run a little high, and that may be like late in the process when everyone's just exhausted. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I teach my students that positive criticism is a way of improving yourselves. We don't do negative. I mean, that's the, because negative criticism doesn't help anybody.
Right.
You know, you have to be like, okay, look, this wasn't all that great. You made a weaker choice. Let's see if we can find a stronger choice. You know, it's not about right or wrong. What you did is not right or wrong. There are choices that we make as a performer, as an actor. We make choices, and some of them are going to be really, really strong, and some of them are going to be really, really weak. And that's how we approach, how I approach it. It's like, well, that was a choice. It was a little weaker, but I think if you did it this might be a stronger choice. And they're very receptive to it.
Right.
So, you know, back in my day, you know, the feelings were not spared at all.
Well, no.
You know?
And directors actually kind of wore that as something that was good.
Yeah.
The meaner I am,
the better you'll be.
The better you'll be. That's right. I get the best out of my, just by berating them all the time. No. I have a funny story about Sam Griffin, mm-hmm. who I have not seen in a while. But this is my first time back in the theater since high school mm-hmm. when we do this. And I was really shocked that I got that part in Plaza Suite because it's just me and Sam for the third act. That's it. And I had a hardest time getting off book and just memorizing because I'm doing all the work in here and stuff. And this is community theater. You have your jobs too, right? And we sit down for just a table read at the very beginning. And she looks at me and she goes, "You better get this down or I will eat you up on stage."
Yeah.
Which, if you know Sam, that was not a threat.
No.
That's who she is.
Yeah.
And she was just, and so I had to, and, you know, she saved my bacon three different times that I just skipped a whole passage of dialogue that had a prop attached and everything. And I had three shows where I did it perfect and three shows where I skipped that part. And I didn't even know the first time that I skipped it until after the show because it was seamless.
Yeah.
Because she knew right where I went to, mm-hmm. and she picked it up and ran with it. So honestly, what ended up happening is she saved my bacon three times. But the bond that we had was amazing.
Yeah.
She's just, you know, these are the relationships that you make when you do it.
Yeah, as actors, and this is something else I tell my students, is that as an actor, when you have a scene partner, there has to be a level of trust.
Yes.
You know, there has to be an absolute level of trust that as scene partners, I'm going to give you everything that you need to help you as long as you give me everything that I need. And I will be I'll ask questions. I go, "Hey, what would you think if we tried this tonight? You know, hey, can we try this?" You know, be open and honest, transparent with each other. But there has to be that level of trust. And that is why my students call me Will and not Mr. Walker. Because it's like, you all need to have a level of trust with me to know that I'm here for you.
And it's the collaboration between everyone that really makes it worthwhile.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And to me, ultimately, it makes for the great performance.
Oh, it does. It absolutely does. And I can tell, you know, kind of piggybacking on your story there about Sam eating your lunch on stage. it's so true. I tell my kids this too. My students, I call them kids. I shouldn't do that. My students is that the smallest character could steal your scene from you.
Yes.
You know, we have in this play, we have actors or actresses who play birds. And there are moments when they're on stage that I'm watching them and not the main actors. And I tell them, I was like, "You guys got upstaged by birds." And they're like, "What?" I was like, "I was more interested in what the birds were doing behind you than what you were doing in front of me."
Right.
And I was like, "You got to make sure you can't, don't let the birds do that. You can't let them upstage you and you've got to bring it. You've got to do this." So yeah, it's one of those things where I was in a production of Cabaret one time and the only thing I did was walk across stage with a suitcase from stage left to stage right. That was it. That's all I did. But I wasn't going to just do that. As an actor, I'm like, no, this character needs to be something, you know? So I would walk across. I gave him a name, a backstory. I gave him everything. And I walk and I would stop just on the right side of center stage. I'd put my suitcase down and I would look at my watch. I would look up as if I'm looking at a train schedule. And I would stop someone, ask them where the train was, and they would point, and I'm like, you know, saying thanks, and I'd pick up my suitcase and I'd go off. I was like, I'm not just going to walk across stage with nothing.
Right.
And, you know, and the director was like, "Oh my God, that was fantastic what you were doing back there."
We had that happen in another show. We were just doing stuff in the background, and it turned into a thing.
Yeah.
So
some of the best theater moments happen spontaneously.
Yeah.
It's so great. I have so many stories of spontaneous things.
Well, and we are out of time, so you're going to have to come back.
Of course. Anytime.
And we're not going to pitch any particular shows because I'm probably going to rerun this.
That's fine.
And I won't have to pull the dated stuff out. Just all I have to say, and I'll let you make the plea, to support your local theater.
Absolutely. That's community, high school, and college. We have so many wonderful theater programs in this town, and they all need support, every one of them.
Will Walker, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Red River Valley Today, a public service of East Texas Broadcasting. If you have a suggestion for a guest, email Eric at easttexasradio.com. That's Eric at easttexasradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on Red River Valley Today.